Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Denny Griffin here. Welcome to the Juror 13 show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's been a few weeks since I did a show, so I'm a little bit rusty, but I think I'll be able to work my way through it okay. And tonight we're going to be continuing talk about domestic violence. And my co-host for tonight's show is Annie Jacoby. And Annie is the with Realistic Female Self-Defense Company. Annie, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Denny. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good, actually. And I was just talking to our guest tonight a few minutes ago. We were talking about snow, and I'm back in Vegas and away from the snow, so that makes me feel even better. And tonight we're going to be, Annie and I will be talking with our guest, Ben Atherton-Zeman. And Ben is a spokesman for the National Organization for Men Against Sexism, known as NOMAS. Or NOMAS, N-O-M-A-S, and their website is www.nomas.org. That's www.nomas.org. And Ben also performs a multimedia play dealing with sexual assault and domestic violence titled Voices of Men. Ben, welcome to the Juror 13 show.
Pleasure to be here. Hi, Denny. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Very well, thanks. We got some snow out here in New England.
And
can I say I don't miss it?
Realistic female self-defense from snow.
Yeah. No, I was born and raised in the Poconos, so I had my fill of it. Yeah.
Beautiful Mount Airy Lodge.
Yes, absolutely gorgeous.
What I'll do is I just wanted to ask Ben a question, Annie, and then I'll turn it over to you, and you can ask or discuss what you'd like to discuss with Ben. But Ben, before I pass the baton to Annie, would you just give us a little background on the NOMAS organization and your involvement with it and so forth?
Well, sure. The National Organization for Men Against Sexism is a national group that's been around for over 25 years. Our platforms are pro-feminist, gay-affirmative, anti-racist, and enhancing men's lives. So it's really a multi-issue organization. We believe in women's empowerment, but also we want to work for the end of racism and homophobia. It doesn't have staff people, so I only see the folks at NOMAS once or twice a year. Most of my time is spent performing that play, Voices of Men, that you mentioned. And I perform the play in colleges, high schools, military bases, and for conferences, using humor and celebrity male voice impressions to educate folks about domestic violence, sexual violence, and the connection between violence against women and daily sexism.
And how long you been doing this, Ben?
I've been performing the play for about 7 or 8 years, been doing this kind of work, domestic violence prevention, for about 18 years.
18 years, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Before I turn it over to Annie, we would like to hear from anyone with a question or comment for Annie or for Ben or for me, and you can reach us at 646-478-0982. 646-478-0982. Annie.
I'm here.
go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Well, Ben, geez, I mean, I had this whole introduction on you, but you did a great job. Thank you. I'm almost done. It's pretty interesting because I think that, you know, I have followed you for quite some time, and a lot of our listeners, and not necessarily in the chat room, but who listen to our archives, you know, will tune in and they'll hear. But not everybody is familiar with Ben Atherman Zeman. So I wanted to, I would definitely wanted to elaborate a little bit more so on your introduction, because I think that I hold a special place for you in my heart, because how we came to bring you on the show was I piped up in the chat room one night and said, we need more men in our corner. And you're definitely one of them, and we're very proud and happy to have you there. Could you tell us a little bit about Voices of Men? And first I want to put out there to anybody, number one is we talk a lot about, advocacy and domestic violence and what is it, and assaults and rapes and, stalking and so much more. And one thing real quick I want to put out there to everybody is that if you or someone you know needs help or assistance, and they're in an abusive relationship or they've been assaulted in any way, please, if it's yourself or if it's somebody that you know, lend a hand, lend a shoulder, an ear, and pick up the phone. We've got, we've got a national domestic violence hotline, and that is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E, and that's 1-800-799-SAFE. And we also have a national sexual assault hotline, which is 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-HOPE. And so if anybody needs any help, please reach out. And, of course, you've got your local coalition agencies that you can reach out to as well. But Ben does an awesome, I mean, I it's hard to put into words because it's like you have to be there. It's almost you have to, it's like you have to be in the moment. But Ben, talk to us a little bit about your I find it's actually an educational comedy presentation that you perform.
Well, you're very kind, Annie. It's very sweet to. I should call in more often if you're going to be this nice to me. But I really have to return the favor. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, Denny, but I appreciate you doing this show on domestic violence. But most men who raise our voices and say we care about stopping domestic violence, we care about stopping sexual assault, stalking, crimes against women, we're doing it because a woman has told us about it, or one or more women or girls in our lives have raised our consciousness about this and have asked us for help. You said we need more men in our corner, and that is the exact message that I got when I was 18, 19 years old. I'm 43 now. So Voices of Men really grew out of my desire to involve more men, to recruit more men, if you will, as I had been recruited by women like you. Yes, it is funny. I've always had this odd ability to be able to do voices, so I do these funny voices and I wear funny costumes. But that's basically to get audiences to listen, because most of my audiences are mandated at a high school assembly or a college orientation or a military required annual briefing. They're sitting down ready to be bored or ready to be yelled at, and I make it funny so that they'll listen and so that I can separate for them the myths about domestic violence and replace those myths with some accurate information.
And it's so interesting, Ben, because so many of our – I mean, I even see – I work a lot with young people, and when you say about getting their attention and that grabber – you've got to almost wake them up and have them smell the coffee, but yet in a way that's productive and yet not bringing humor or light to the subject whatsoever, because you do not do that in your performances. I mean, you're very serious, and I've listened to them, and they just enthrall me. So I commend you, because I just feel like we just need more men to step up to the plate, and I see it happening even right here at UNC in Chapel Hill. It's you know, I was called last year to come down and speak. A fraternity called me because they mm-hmm. wanted to bring awareness to the campus for sexual assault.
Yeah.
And I went down and I spoke. And I commend any man, especially our young people,
yeah.
for being involved and getting involved and standing up and saying enough is enough and we need to do something about it. So anytime, I tell everybody, anytime you guys can, you know, catch Ben on the road and listen to what he has to say, please do so. And Ben, I've posted your website because on your website, I think it's great because you put clips up there.
And it's a new website now.
Yeah, I mean, it's really I like it. I really do. It's great. So everybody go and check out Ben's new website. It's www.voicesofmen.org. And you've got some powerful information on your website.
Well, it's powerful information. When I first heard about that every 12 seconds somewhere in the United States a man abuses the woman he's promised to love, that's powerful information. It's hard for me not to do something. I appreciate your thanks for men doing this, but I think any man or any person who realizes the gravity of this and realizes how frequent it is or knows someone, as you mentioned, listeners, I'm sure, know someone or have been abused by a partner, it's hard not to be active on it. And if I can do something by performing this play, raise a little awareness, and maybe get some men to get involved, I count that a day well done. And if I can make your day easier as someone who's, mm-hmm. who's done this work, then I count that a day well done.
Well, it's interesting because there's a blog, and I don't know if everybody's aware of it, but I follow it, and I majority of us I think do that are always that are in the field, but it's a blog by Kathy Church, and the name of her blog is Intimate and Domestic Violence Homicides in the News.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, Ben, it's amazing, but we counted up the number of articles that she posted since Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And these articles are about media reports, just things that have hit the media,
mm-hmm.
from assaults to arrests made, and you know, just the United States alone. And we've counted up approximately 60 articles since Thanksgiving.
My God! Yeah, I guess like 2,000 women or so a year are killed by male partners. Maybe 500 men are killed.
It's just alarming, and one of my things is that, you know, when I see this, and of course being in the field and being, well, I've been in the field 20-some years, but it always makes us wonder as to what's going on. We know that domestic violence and rape and assault are not new. It's just that we're now bringing it to fruition and people
right.
are speaking up more. But what is it that why are our statistics, why do you feel as a man that possibly our statistics are higher as far as violence against women? Is it due to rage or is there other reasons? Do you know what's happening?
I think it's what you said. I think there's more awareness of that this is abuse because for any batterer, and we've touched on this a little, it doesn't have to be a man abusing a woman. Men are victims of domestic violence, of sexual assault, mm-hmm. of stalking. It can happen to heterosexual men, and I've worked with heterosexual male victims. It can happen in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities, but the vast majority of the folks I've worked with personally in my, I guess, about almost 20-some years as well, no, it's not, it's 18, you outrank me, anyway, the vast majority of the folks I've worked with are girls and women. The vast majority of the folks who did that to them are guys like Denny and myself. And I think because of that, it's our responsibility, my gender, to do more of the work than we've been doing. To further answer your question, I think it's we might be seeing a rise in statistics because some battered women are finally saying, wow, yeah, this is abuse, as opposed to, I guess I deserve it because I burned dinner or because I wasn't a good enough wife, a good enough partner. Because that's what batterers will say. They will say, this is your fault because you did something wrong.
You know, and it's so refreshing to hear you say that, because when I'm working in the field and I'm speaking or I'm training, so many times we will, you know, our girls and whenever I'm on Blog Talk as a guest too, it's just, you know, I mean, it's not gender specific. I mean, even the form of mental and physical self-defense that we teach is not gender specific. I mean, what we teach physically, they teach to our military and law enforcement. But, you know, and the number with men coming forward too as being abused. And like I say, I mean, I don't expect, just because I train females, that's what I've elected as my platform.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't expect a man to take a frying pan upside the head.
Yeah, and
you know,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I mean, but I understand what you're saying, and it baffles us. And on Kathy's, it's really interesting, because on Kathy's blog, she's got a map, and I'll post a link in the chat room. But she's got a map on there, Ben, and the map itself it's the United States, and every time, you know, there's something that happens, she puts up a red symbol that means, you know, either it's maybe multiple murders and a suicide, a murder and a suicide, victim stabbing and death, a father kills a child, police-related assault, murders. I mean, it's amazing. And it's like, you know, Delilah and I said, you know, it's going to be red pretty soon, the whole entire United States,
right,
because it's happening so much. And it's just we have an epidemic.
It is, and it doesn't start off with murder or even with a frying pan upside the head, as you know. It starts with one person in the relationship, usually the man, saying, you know what, I'm the one in charge, I'm the boss. If you step out of line, I get to set you straight. And the calls I've had when I used to staff the hotline, the folks who were calling would tell me, and I'm so glad, by the way, that you said the national hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE, 1-800-656-HOPE. Those callers will say, you know, the physical violence really wasn't the worst of it. It really was being called stupid, being called ugly or lazy or a bad mother or crazy. Those, you know, those bruises you can't really see, those are the ones that take the longest to heal. Not just because those are harsh words, but because they're coming from the person you love. The most common reaction that I get, and probably you do too, is, well, why don't these women just leave? And it's a reasonable question on the surface, but when you think about it, why don't you just leave is blaming the victim. It's not up to the victim to leave. It's up to the perpetrator to not abuse, to not verbally abused, not physically abused, not emotionally abused. It's up to the perpetrator to say, I don't get to call the shots in this marriage or in this relationship. So a more helpful thing would be to say, instead of, well, why don't you just leave, would be to say, well, I'm concerned for your safety, or, you know, why are you abusing this person, and to create a safety net around that person should they choose to leave.
Oh, exactly. And you know, I mean, we often say too is that, you know, I mean, in an abusive situation or a relationship, I mean, you know, unfortunately the victim has to be 20 steps ahead,
right,
of her batter. I mean,
right,
she has to constantly be on her toes, and she has to, when she makes that decision to leave, you know, she can't broadcast it, because, you know, we all know and we always tell everybody out there that is when you can't make idle threats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you've made up your mind that it's time, I've had it up to my eyeballs, I mean, yes, the bruises heal and they go away, they fade. The emotional and the mental abuse, though, stays with you for such a long time, and you have flashbacks.
Yeah,
and
most of those red dots on the map that you're talking about, they occur after she has left or when she's in the process of leaving. It's the most dangerous time for any victim. And so, yeah, she has to have an excellent safety plan, and the folks at the National Hotline can talk you through a safety plan if listeners are thinking of leaving. And the best thing we can do as friends and as community members is to, You know, make sure that she has a support system outside the batterer. Because if I'm the batterer, my job is not to use physical violence. My job is to control my partner. And if I can do that without physical violence, make her totally dependent on me without lifting a hand, then so much the better.
I agree. And it's time for people. I personally feel that it's time for people to get involved. It's not a taboo subject anymore. It's time for, you know, educating our young people, and that's what I'm working on, another project doing that as well. We just added a new division called Project Safe Girls.
Good.
It's time to educate. I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, good touch, bad touch, you know, the stranger danger, which I think we need to change that up a little bit. But the thing is, we need to educate our young people because they don't know, Ben. They don't know.
And I think it's time for more men to be involved. I mean, this has been traditionally seen as a women's issue, but I really think it's a men's issue, and I think it's a human issue, because every man I meet practically has a mother that he cares about, or a wife or a girlfriend or a daughter, and, you know, those are folks who are in danger of being abused. 1 in 3 women are going to be the victim of abuse in their lifetime. Well, as a man, do I want that to be my mother? Do I want it to be my wife, Lucinda? Do I want it to be my sister, Katie, or my sister, Abby? Obviously, the answer is none of the above. I'm starting a Facebook group called 10,000 Men Supporting Women's Anti-Violence Groups, responding to a challenge from Pat Eng at the Ms. Foundation for Women, who was at a conference and urged us men to, if we say we're allies to women, to show it, don't tell it, and to show it specifically by donating to local domestic violence programs and rape crisis centers. Right now is the time when entire shelters are being closed, staff is being laid off because of the economy and because of budget cuts and because the priorities aren't always with victim services. We give a big bailout to bankers, but we don't give it to battered women's shelters. So it's a perfect opportunity for men to, you know, you don't have to donate a lot. Donate $10. Donate some time as a volunteer if you don't have money. But it's a good opportunity, easy opportunity for men to support these groups.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I remember years ago, more years than I really care to remember, actually, I was just out of the service, and I was into the party life at the time. And some of the places I hung out at, you know, I had a lot of barroom-type acquaintances, not really close personal friends, but guys I knew. And I remember, this is stuck in my mind all these years, that one time I stopped in this particular gin mill, and a guy who I had met in there from time to time and talked with and played pool with and so forth, he came in, I said, how's it going tonight? And he says, I had a bad night last night. And I said, a little hungover. He said, well, not only that, he says, but I got home, he says, and I blew most of my paycheck yesterday. He says, and the old lady lit into me. You know, she wanted the rent money. She wanted whatever. He says, and I told her I was in no mood for her crap. He says, she didn't shut up. He said, I knocked her right down the stairs.
Yikes.
And he said, I bet you she doesn't pull that crap with me again. And, you know, I was kind of shocked because I didn't think of this guy in that light. I was surprised to hear that, but I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, that, you know, I've thought about that, especially since I realized how serious this problem is and have been doing some of these shows. I probably should have said something. Maybe I should, you know, I don't know just what, but I guess I shouldn't have just ignored it. You know, I just kind of let it slide. Do you think that's a reaction most men have when they, you know, when they hear somebody say, "Oh, I beat the old lady up last night," or the
kid? I think it's a very common reaction. I think a lot of us, when confronted with a sexist act or a racist act or a homophobic act, we freeze. I know I do. So I wouldn't blame yourself, but it's good that you tell the story, because I think a lot of your listeners are thinking right now, wow, that happened to me. I wish I had said something. By the way, I didn't know you were a veteran. Thank you very much for serving our country.
Oh.
I didn't realize that about you.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's something that if you had to do it over again, what would you say?
Well, you know, I've thought about that, and my feeling would be, now I don't know if I would put this into words, maybe I'd say something different, but my feeling was, even then, even though I said nothing at all, my feeling was, you know, does that make you a big shot? I mean, I kind of wanted to ask this guy, you know, what's wrong with you? Does that make you a He-Man or whatever?
Yeah, I think just showing our disapproval as a man, I mean, I think is absolutely a wonderful thing to say. What not to do, and thinking back me up here, Annie, is to, you know, kind of get in his face about it, which is what my impulse is as a man. You know, if I hear that, especially a woman I care about, has been abused, has been raped, I'm going to want to go get the guy.
Yeah.
Turns out that's not so useful, because usually 80% of batterers are only abusive towards their partners. These aren't the folks who get in fights in bars, for example. So they will not take it out on us. They will take it out on her. And most, a lot of the folks are still in love with the ones who are abusing them. So they don't want the relationship to end. They want the abuse to end. They will go back to that person, and they will have to deal with the consequences. So a better thing to do is, yeah, let him know, hey, buddy, that's really not okay. You don't get to do that just because you're married to a person. That's not what it means to be a man.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that the men's, I won't say men's movement, but the effort to involve more men in groups such as NOMAS, or even if they don't join a group, just attitude-wise,
uh-huh.
Do you think it's gaining any momentum? Do you think more men are becoming aware of the problem and how serious it is and more apt to want to get involved?
I think it's gaining huge momentum. It's a very exciting time. I don't know what you think, Annie, but I feel very privileged to be involved in this growing multicultural, multiracial group of men who are finally answering the call that women have been giving all along, really, saying that they want men's involvement. In Annie's state of North Carolina, there's been a lot of exciting things going on. You had Tucker Max visit North Carolina State, I believe, a couple months ago, and men were at the forefront of protesting this man who basically had a film coming out that glorified the rape of women by getting them drunk. And there was a guy I interviewed for my new play, The Men's Monologues Against Violence, who was a ROTC guy, actually, somewhat of a military guy also, who just thought this was wrong, went into the Women's Center, and said, what can I do to help? And there's individual men and groups of men across the country. And so, yeah, this is definitely on the upswing, but I don't think it would have happened without women like Annie.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's always been a woman's issue, you know, and men didn't get involved. And they didn't, I mean, the culture, it was always taboo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I was blessed that I had, I just, like you said, you know, why does she stay? And there's just so many things around that and so many answers. And instead of pointing the finger, you need, and like you said, I totally agree. But, you know, when I was assaulted, I mean, my attitude was different than a lot of people. I mean, I didn't have any children, but I wasn't going to stick around and see if he was going to kill me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was blessed to be able to make that snap decision in the spur of the moment, in crisis, and just make a decision. And there's so many, because I was basically ambushed then, so I didn't have the mental torment every single day. I didn't walk on eggshells. I didn't have children that I had to worry about and think about, oh my God, I'm not working. How am I going to feed them? How am I going to put, you know, how am I going to put clothes on my kids? Where are we going to live? How am I don't have a car. I didn't have that to worry about. And so many women do, and it puts them in a very, very difficult situation, and then they're demeaned.
A lot of women blame themselves. Oh, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, a lot of women blame themselves as well. I think it's very courageous, by the way, when any survivor does us the honor of coming out, if you will, of telling us that she is a survivor. So thank you for that. But and that even more proves my point that you're the kind of woman that inspired me to do this work, because most of the folks whom I look to for leadership are women, and many of them are survivors. Most of them are survivors, come to think about it, who have taught me about these issues. If I say anything particularly insightful on your program, it's probably because a woman taught it to me, and probably that woman was a woman much like you.
Thank you.
Just a second. We have a caller on the line. Let me see what the caller has to say here if there's a question. Caller from 920 area code, you're on.
Yo, great. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
I wanted to address a concern that I had when I was listening to Ben talk about how men are allies in this movement to quell domestic violence, and that, you know, we should be used in that capacity. I've been trying to volunteer at a local domestic violence shelter in the Green Bay area for some years now, and I can't ever seem to drum up enough enthusiasm, because I'm apparently a man, and this seems to be a barrier.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What's your first name, sir?
Yeah, I am too. My name's Chad.
Hey, Chad. Well, I appreciate your enthusiasm and wanting to volunteer. I'm sorry that they haven't taken you up on it. There are some domestic violence programs that don't take male volunteers or that don't want us on the hotline, and, you know, I think that's perfectly fine if that's what they want to do. The sad thing and the good thing about this issue is there are plenty of other groups. So I would love to put you in touch with Bay Area is pretty big, so there will be some other agencies that would probably be very excited to have you as a volunteer.
Green Bay area, sir.
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is pretty rural, and there aren't as many ways to help out, unfortunately, because of the population.
Well, I still want to hook you up with someone. So if you'll go to my website, voicesofmen.org, that has an email link on it, and the Wisconsin Coalition Against Domestic Violence will help us find a place for you to volunteer, because I don't want that energy to go to waste. And why is it that you felt like you wanted to volunteer?
Domestic violence has deeply impacted my life since I was a small child. I grew up with it, and I've been, I don't know, my whole life I've been trying to fight domestic violence in any way I could. So I'd like to run that energy towards women. My wife has experienced a lot of domestic violence in her life, and she's also a staunch supporter of me being involved. I hope that the more men that can be involved will help educate women so that they, especially women in leadership positions, so that they will be willing to see men as allies. Because I don't believe that women are going to just bring women out of this crisis. I think it's men and women together.
I agree. Chad, you're breaking up a little bit. I think you're a good man to want to do this work. Hopefully your wife's doing better now. It sounds like being married to you, and I don't know if it was your mom. I hope she's doing better.
It was my mom and my whole family. I mean, domestic violence is not gender specific.
Right. Yes,
as we
pointed out,
will happily beat their children too. So.
Oh dear. Well, please do write me. I'm not kidding about this. I'm also performing Voices of Men in Weston, Wisconsin. It's a village. I don't know how close that is to Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Weston.
Oh, well, February 11th, Weston, Wisconsin. I'd love to meet you in person.
February 11th. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Chad.
Thanks,
thank
Chad.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Chad's point is absolutely wonderful. It's so great to hear men like Chad who want to get involved. And I understand, I'm not quite sure how he put it, but I think sometimes women are going to be understandably suspicious and unwelcoming of men. Mostly that's not the case. In my case, I've always been fairly warmly welcomed, eagerly welcomed by women in leadership positions to do this work. It doesn't always feel as welcoming for some men, and I think, frankly, we men have to be okay with that. We have to expect some amount of healthy suspicion and not make it a prerequisite that women be all lovey-dovey and open arms to us when we come knocking on the door and say, hey, here we are.
Well, I can vouch for that because, you know, working in the field and being in crisis just like yourself and taking the hotline and doing the shelter and going to the hospitals and, you know, even board membership. And I mean, it's a big thing. And, but working together, and that's just like Chad said, I mean, working together and bringing it to fruition and getting out there and really bringing the awareness and letting people know that they're not alone and that they're not at zero option is a really, really big thing. Ben, what are some things that men can do to, I guess what I want to say is to basically step up to the plate and end sexism? I mean, what are some of the things that you advocate for the men?
Well, one thing is what Chad precisely did. Call your local domestic violence program or rape crisis center and say, hey, can you use me? If that doesn't work, and usually that used to be my job as volunteer coordinator, usually they're pretty eager. But sometimes places are understaffed or they've just had a layoff and maybe they won't get back to you. Keep trying. Try other agencies. Try the national hotline. As well as being a hotline for victims, 1-800-799-SAFE, they have some great resources to tell you where the local programs are. I'm creating this Facebook group, 10,000 Men Supporting Women's Anti-Violence Groups, to make that a little easier for men so that they can just click make a donation or click get hooked up to their local program. And so that's for someone like Chad, it's a little bit easier. So that's one thing. I mean, I could, as far as interrupting daily sexism, I was glad you mentioned sexism. Men can interrupt sexist jokes, not tell sexist jokes, listen to women, not interrupt women in conversations. I mean, so often we men unconsciously treat women as less than. Objectification of women through pornography and advertisements. I mean, none of these things, these daily sexism things, cause violence against women, but they make it easier to be tolerated because it's easier when you turn a human being into a thing to commit violence against them.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, I have two boys and, you know, I mean, they knew nothing of my assault until about maybe 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I never discussed it. It wasn't their father, and they knew that I was, you know, involved with domestic violence and rape crisis for many years, but they didn't know that I was a survivor. And when they found out, they were just like, they were livid. They were absolutely, I had to sit them down and really talk to them about what had happened and how it happened and what is domestic violence, what is rape crisis. And that's why my younger son is, he's my lead instructor. You know, he's 21 years old. I have a 24-year-old and a 21-year-old and, my 24-year-old is involved in the business in another capacity, but my younger son is my lead instructor, and the women love him, number one, and because he can relate to them, and it doesn't matter what age. But I'm a single mom. I raised my boys on my own, and the value that I had to instill in them. So I'm a firm believer, Ben, is that, you know what, it starts at home.
Well, good for you and good for them.
Well, thank you. But the thing is that, you know, we've got, and that's what my biggest thing has always been too, is to make the parents aware that this is happening, what's happening out there, how kids are acting, you know. But I, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, a lot of times you're a product of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the kids going off to college. You know, I mean, if you're going to be out there raising hell, then, you know, you're going to expect to do something. There's something that, you know, you said is that as far as the sexism is, I totally agree with you as far as, you know, learning how to treat women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe women should learn how to treat men. I mean,
right.
it's a give and take. It's you know, it's just like a marriage or a relationship. You've got to give and take, and you've got to be able to communicate. But so many times, you know, we hear the jokes in the office. And, you know, I mean, as soon as if you're one of the people that steps up to the plate and says, look, you know, knock it off. I don't like that. Or, you know, this is not appropriate. You know, but you know what? It's time that even, you know, women and men take a stance. And even when with the kids, I mean, it starts with raising them and letting them know that, you know, women are not sex objects, that, you know, we have a huge purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and but it's also, you know, just as much too with the men is that it's about respecting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of overpowering. But again, if we have any of our listeners and you're just tuning in, we have Ben Asserman Zeman, who has worked as a domestic violence and assault prevention educator through his educational comedy presentations. You can check him out on his website. And I posted it in the chat room so that people can check on you and look into what you're doing. But Ben, I think that you are a wealth of information.
Thanks.
And I think that
Danny, say it back at you.
Well, thank you. But you know, when you talk to men, it's just like with Chad. I mean, when you talk to men and Denny. I mean, and you feel it. I mean, and I'm that way whenever I, you know, if I hire somebody or if I start working with an instructor, you know, I have to know as a woman and as an owner of a company and doing what I do that, you know, that they're not in it just for the money.
Right.
They're in it because there's a passion. And
yeah.
It's not all about money because, I mean, we do a lot of pro bono stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, it's being able to... to give back to the community, and that's just what, you know, what Chad wants to do. And,
well, the founders of
this
movement, the mothers of our movement didn't do this for money because there were no paid staff. There were no hotlines. It was somebody's phone. There were no shelters. It was their living room, you know. And fortunately, with the passage of the Violence Against Women Act and subsequent reauthorizations, we have a little bit more funding now. People can eke out a meager salary doing this kind of work. And that is, I think, partly why men have not become involved in a professional capacity, because the salaries aren't good, and that's not a good enough reason.
No, it's very interesting because, I mean, you know, there's, like you said, like with the cutbacks in the economy and everything and what's been happening and the bashing of the coalitions, and it's like, it's ridiculous. It just comes back, and it's absolutely crazy, but... You know, I mean, there's alternatives out there, and
mm-hmm.
You know, you and I both know, being in the field, that we're not at zero option. As advocates, you know, we need to know what we're talking about. We need to know how to convey it, and we need to be positive about it. And instead of bashing, we need to embrace each other and lift each other up as advocates, and say, you know what, we've got a job to do. We don't have time to, you know, get into the riffraff. We've got jobs to do, and, you know, if it's fundraising, if it's, you know, getting involved with your local, you know, your local agencies on any level,
mm-hmm.
You know, for either sexual assault or domestic violence, you know, you're needed. Everybody's needed out there. And I say to Chad, don't give up, because like you said to him, there is an agency somewhere, somehow there's an agency that needs him. And like you said, every agency has their own prerequisites.
Right.
And I've seen it. I've seen men come into the agencies that want to volunteer, that want to help or want to be on crisis hotline. You know, 9 times out of 10, if there's a shelter involved, you know, usually that's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
It really depends on the agencies. But the thing is that, guys, don't give up. If you're really, really sincere about wanting to help and be there for us, you know, you definitely need it, and there's an answer. And, you know, if you go to Ben's website, www.voicesofmen.org, you know, Ben can hook you up wherever you're located, and and get you in and have you be another voice.
I tell you where we really need men, I think, is prevention education. Because so many times, I'm glad, Annie, you went to the fraternity at UNC Chapel Hill. A lot of times when we men hear a woman come in and talk about violence against women, we will turn you off, tune you out, stereotype you as a man-hater. And that's a little harder to do when it's a man who's speaking or when it's a man who's standing next to a woman, even for no other reason than to just sort of point to Annie and say, yeah, what she said. That gives you credibility that you wouldn't otherwise have. Now, that's really sad that there are some men who will only listen to Annie when there's a man standing next to her. That's something we need to change, and that's also something that we need to recognize. And if there are men out there who want to volunteer and you really want to do the hotline, you know, that might not be where you're most needed. If you really want to help battered women in the shelter, that might not be where you're most needed. You might be most needed, you know, to be on a fundraising committee, to be doing outreach education. And there's so much misinformation out there about domestic violence. I mean, most of us agree domestic violence is bad, but there's some stuff like the fact that it's not really about physical violence at all at the core. That's just one tactic of abuse of power and control. You know, we need to get those bits of information out there. Denny, when you were talking about that guy in your gin joint, you were surprised that this guy had said that because he seemed like, you know, reasonable guy, and that's not uncommon. Folks have a stereotype of batterers like they have a stereotype of rapists, and that they're these sort of hulking bruisers that haven't shaved in a few days, leering in the corner with a half-empty beer bottle. And sometimes that's the case, but usually they're well-respected, well-spoken, well-dressed. They present well in courtrooms. Annie, you've probably seen this as an advocate, mm-hmm. where the batterer will come in and say, "Your Honor, I don't know what's up with this, and I'm just this poor innocent bystander," and they will be believed. And this is something folks don't realize, that the batterers not only deny the fact that they're batterers, they will most often identify as the victim of their partner, as the victim of the court system. And most of the time, they seem to genuinely believe that they really are the victim.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ben. It blows my mind. I mean, when I've been in court, or I see it happening, or you know, you witness it, or you hear it's happening. And like I tell, like I just spoke with different sixth graders tonight, and it's like I straight out asked them, I said, you know, when I say anything, when I say the word domestic violence or abuse or assault, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And this little girl looked at me and she said, a black and blue eye.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then we went around the table and I explained to them that I said, you know, and so many times when I speak, I say, you know, you can be abused without even being touched. And people look at me, Ben, like I'm crazy. Like, what's wrong with her, you know?
Well, you're not crazy. It sounds crazy to some people because they believe the myth.
Exactly. And you explain to them about what the power and control wheel is and what
right.
the different forms of abuse are. People have to be just educated, and that's what we're all about, and that's what we're trying to do. And I really feel that, you know, males helping males, I think that, you know, it's a lot more, like you said, it's better received from a man speaking to, you know, younger males, just like at the fraternity. You know,
do you guys mind if I call back on another phone? I'm at my friend's house, and would that work okay?
Sure.
That's fine.
Okay, well, I'll call you right back. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, we got a minute waiting for Ben to rehook. I'd like to just discuss the future of the program here. As most everyone probably knows, Juror 13 has gone inactive. And this originally was going to be the last Juror 13 show. Hold on, I think we got Ben back.
Hi, I'm back.
Ben, okay, I was just making a show announcement, Ben, if you want to hold on just a second, then we'll get back
Please.
To you. Okay. So, actually, a week from tonight will be the final Juror 13 show. And my co-host is going to be Delilah, and we're going to have as a guest Christina Korobov. And Christina is a senior attorney for the National Center for the Prosecution of Violence Against Women,
a
division of the National District Attorneys Association. So I hope everyone will pass the word on that, because we really want to hear what Christina has to say and direct some questions to her. And anybody has concerns about the justice system here, she'd be a good person, I think, to pose those questions or concerns to. So I certainly hope anybody listening will pass the word around to tune in next week. And the other thing is I'm going to start a new show called The Griffin Chronicles in January. And I'm going to be continuing to do a lot of domestic violence and crimes against children shows. So, and I see one of my future guests, Lynn, is in the chat room, and she's going to be on sometime in the future. And I'm going to rely on Delilah and Annie and so forth to give me a hand from time to time co-hosting. So even though we're changing names, we will still be doing basically the same type of programming. So I hope everybody will stick with me.
Sounds like a good show next week, and I think listeners should stick with you.
Okay, thank you very much. Go ahead, and I'll bow out now, and you guys can continue.
Thanks, Denny. Well, we're really excited for you to be continuing on with us, because we definitely need you. And I've said before is that, you know, it's something that we just need to keep on keeping on with, and not to give up. But if you're just joining us tonight, we have Ben Atherton-Zeman on with us. And Ben is an advocate who has worked in the DV and a self-prevention educator through his educational comedy presentations. I can vouch that, you know, no one ever leaves Ben's presentations not understanding victimization.
You're very kind.
Well, it's the truth, and it's you have a very a canny way of putting it out there, and I love it. I think that anybody who has an opportunity to witness it and be part of it with you is very interesting. But some of the things that we've talked about, Ben, I think that, you know, it's very dear to your heart and mine. Is there anything that you want to put out there to us or and to our listeners? Because of course we have the archives and people are putting our shows on they're downloading them and things. And is there anything that you'd like to you know, add that comes to your heart or your mind that, you know, that you really feel it needs to get through?
Well, sure. I mentioned the Violence Against Women Act. Next year, VAWA, it's called, is being reauthorized, and it's come under attack from groups that call themselves the Fathers' Rights Movement. And I don't think it's an accurate term, frankly. I think that the real Fathers' Rights Movement is the Feminist Women's Movement have done more for fathers' rights than these folks have. But there's a sense that they feel that there's a conspiracy to cut up how many men are abused, and that by spending so much funding on women's groups, these same dollars should be spent for male victims as well. And I kind of cringe when I hear these arguments, because my own personal experience working in domestic violence shelters and programs is we serve men all the time. Like I said at the beginning, we serve heterosexual men, gay and bisexual men, transgender men, and that if not with shelter, then we serve them through legal advocacy, support groups, one-on-one counseling, Many agencies, local agencies for battered women, are changing their name to make it more accessible for male victims. I don't think this should be a fight that we should be having. I think that the best way to support the rights of male victims is to support the local programs and state domestic violence coalitions that already exist rather than trying to sue them and take them down.
I totally agree. I totally agree because, you know, I mean, yes, originally, you know, the domestic violence agencies and the coalitions were, you know, geared towards women. But as you said, I mean, more and more and more men are coming to the surface and needing just as much help. And our agencies are opening up to them, but we really need to be there for them and to go in the direction that you're speaking of. I couldn't agree more with you because it's just it's a he said she said and it's pointing the fingers and it's not getting us anywhere. So we need to just join forces.
And as a movement, we've been stretching and growing. You know, when we had lesbian victims of domestic violence coming forward and saying, That support group for battered women is not safe for me because my batterer might be there. We had to stretch as a movement and start screening. When undocumented immigrants came and said, you know, I can't really use the police, I don't trust the police, we had to stretch and find ways to work with the police around those issues with rewriting of laws as well so that undocumented immigrants are not reported to the INS when they come for domestic violence services. So there have been, you know, deaf women, women of color, disabled women, teenage women, older women, trans women and men. You know, there are all folks who are victims of abuse who don't maybe fit the stereotype, and I think we as a movement have learned, have stretched, have grown, and are trying to both serve those victims better and provide outreach and education services that reach those populations.
Absolutely. I mean, I just as you said, the numbers are staggering, and I can't stress it enough. It's just, you know, instead of fighting and arguing and all these other agencies and all these other advocacies, I mean, we need to just join together. So. And offer to, like, I mean, that's one thing that people always say, well, it's not just a woman's issue. Well, I totally agree. It's not. It's not just a female's issue. And,
yeah.
You know, I always say this to our listeners is that, you know, directly or indirectly, domestic violence and or sexual assault will affect, you know, your life or the life of a loved one, a coworker, a peer. And violence comes in many forms far as domestic abuse. It's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, it's financial, and it's even spiritual.
And when you were saying what can men do, and we were talking about interrupting sexist jokes, not objectifying women, another thing they can do, another thing men can do in particular, is stand up not just when they hear about physical violence, but stand up when they hear somebody saying something like what Denny, your friend, said before he said he shoved her down the stairs. Stand up when they say, well, you know, I really set her straight on that, or I really wouldn't let her do this, or, you know, men even calling their wives not by their name, calling them insulting names. You know, that's sometimes worse than a hit, and we need to say, hey, that's really not okay. You can't do that. That's not what it means to be a man.
Well, and one thing is too is that I told my boys is that, you know, I mean, you know, be the kind of man and father that, you know, your father is. You know, I mean, you know, he's loving, he's caring, and, you know, I mean, yeah, there's times where we always have, you know, as parents we have the riff and raff, but. You know, I mean, you've got to be kind to your partner. You've got to be kind to your children. You've got to be able to love unconditionally. And
yeah.
You know, like you said with Denny, I mean, you know, the condoning and laughing at all that the jokes or, you know, there's nothing wrong. I mean, the confrontation, no, you don't confront somebody that does something like that, but you can say something that will, you know, make him aware that, you know, like, wow, you know, that did make sense.
I truly believe that if enough of us raise our voices, not just saying we're against domestic violence, but we're against sexism, we're against sexist jokes, we're for respecting women and men together, I truly believe that if enough of us do that, there will be a day where this happens not every 12 seconds, but hardly at all.
Absolutely.
I hate to interrupt, guys. We just, the hour flew by here. We just got cut off of the live stream, but what we're saying now will be recorded in the archive. But I want to thank both of you very much, Annie, for giving me a hand. Excellent job. And Ben, for coming on with us and for your efforts and the work that you're doing.
Danny, it was my honor.
And I
hope you'll thank you so much.
I hope you'll consider coming back at a future program.
Well,
oh,
thank
absolutely.
You. And good luck with the rest of your program. It sounds like it's taking a different turn now, and I wish you the luck with that.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks again, Annie and Ben, and I'm sure we'll be doing this again in the future.
I look forward to it.
Can we just say one more thing in the archives, is that if you know anybody, if you need help or you know of anyone that needs help, please do not hesitate to call our National Domestic Hotline or our National Sexual Assault Hotlines. Our National Domestic Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E. And our National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-HOPE. And everybody out there, take care and stay safe.
Annie, I just want to appreciate you once again for doing the realistic female self-defense work that you do and for being an advocate and for being an outspoken survivor and single mom. You sound like you're a fantastic mom for your boys. And, Denny, I thank you for serving our country, and I wish you luck with your new radio show. It's been a fantastic honor speaking to you both.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.